Conectate con tu lado positivo y entra al mundo de lo posible. Escucha Noticias Positivas, un programa hecho por periodistas que difunden propuestas y soluciones. Noticias Positivas. Súmate al cambio. Conducción Andrea Méndez Randam con Graciela Melgarejo.
www.noticiaspositivas.org. Jueves a las 10.
Para salir bien informado,
redacción.
Un equipo de periodistas analizan la realidad política, económica y judicial. Redacción, todos los martes, de 7 a 8 y media, con Ernesto Berenzen, Patricia Blanco y Miguel Ángel Rouco.
Un mundo de ideas. Las ideas y la realidad. Nuestra calidad de vida. Un mundo de ideas. La vida examinada. Un mundo de ideas. La conexión con nuestro interior. Un mundo de ideas. La conexión con el afuera. Un mundo de ideas. Conducido por Felipe Sandler. Jueves, 23 horas. Radio Palermo. 94.7.
Cuando se apaga la luz,
este es un grande indiscutido.
Se iluminan
letrista, poeta, músico,
todos tus recuerdos.
Letrista, poeta, músico.
Con la conducción de Alfredo Lepera.
Oscrito fine de los
un cantante y actor italiano.
La puerta del tiempo.
Ahí vamos.
Sábados.
Vida mía.
Ok.
22 horas.
Vida mía.
Con todo el ritmo del mundo.
Espacio cedido por la Dirección Nacional Electoral. Leyes número 26.215 y 26.571.
La victoria es la victoria de la Argentina. Somos el último país del mapa, pero estamos dando vuelta a todo. Y si cada vez en más productos dice Industria Argentina, más rápido daremos la vuelta. Victoria es que cuando el mundo salga a dar una vuelta por el mundo, venga acá, donde el esfuerzo de la gente hace que cada año le gane al año anterior. Victoria es construir a partir de lo construido, como la ciencia, que avanza desde donde dejó el otro. Y si entendemos las cosas de esta manera, nadie detendrá el desarrollo. Y esa será tu victoria.
Scioli para la victoria. Lista 131A, Frente para la Victoria. Presidente de la Nación, Daniel Scioli. Vicepresidente de la Nación, Carlos Zanini.
Espacio cedido por la Dirección Nacional Electoral. Leyes números 26.215 y 26.571.
Las PASO son antidemocráticas. Necesitamos 400.000 votos para que tus reclamos no se queden afuera. Vamos por una alternativa socialista.
Vota Manuela Castañeira, presidente. Jorge Ayala, vice. Movimiento al Socialismo, lista 13A, SOP.
Espacio cedido por Dirección Nacional Electoral. Leyes 26.215, 26.571.
Vamos a una renovación en el Frente de Izquierda.
Para que sea una gran fuerza que defienda tus reclamos.
En las PASO, vos vas a poder decidir. Ayúdanos con tu voto.
Junto a Nicolás del Caño, presidente. En Provincia de Buenos Aires, Cristian Castillo, diputado.
Lista 1A, Frente de Izquierda y de los Trabajadores.
Espacio cedido por la Dirección Nacional Electoral. Leyes número 26.215 y 26.571.
La victoria es la victoria de tu trabajo. Por eso, vayamos por un trabajo aún mejor. Vayamos porque ganen tus sueños. Y esa será la victoria.
Lista 502A, Frente para la Victoria. Diputados Nacionales por la Ciudad Autónoma de Buenos Aires. Axel Kicillof, Nilda Garré.
Noventa y cuatro siete.
The Typical Mistake. Host, General Producer, Lycanthrope, Guillermo Rubens. Voiceover and Mysterious Charm, Osvaldo Balone. Technical Operation, Luciano Savignano. And a dazzling array of trained monkeys manning the phones.
Welcome, it's The Typical Mistake. Again, and we should get a new intro because we are renewing the show. It's a new era because by my side, to my right, the honor place, we have The indomitable Vanessa Camozzi.
Oh, that's a good adjective. I like that. Thank you. Second show now. You know, typical mistake, nice fresh. So I do want to talk about the history of the show because, you know, Guillermo, you've been doing this a really long time. So this is only my second show, but this is your, what, millionth? Billion?
Well, you have to. It's not that hard, I guess, because it's 15 years and a half times, let's say, 40 shows or 45 shows a year.
Yeah, what's the math on that?
So it's like 600, more or less.
That's a lot of shows.
It is a lot of shows.
So where, okay, what is the name? I always, when I was joining, I wanted to know, why the typical mistake? What's in a name, as Juliet once asked?
Yeah, I was going to go with that quote, actually. if you, sorry for the word, but this is in the original Shakespeare. If you prick the typical mistake, doesn't it bleed?
I like that.
That's a quote.
It is. What's in a name?
Well, originally the show was going to be a little more about English in the sense of language teaching. Mm-hmm. So I thought that, you know, I'm a teacher, as most people know. And I thought that most people, when they're learning something, they're afraid to make mistakes. And they take the mistake as something horrible to be avoided. And this is like a 19th century attitude to mistakes, right? Right now, for the last, well, few decades, the mistake that you make, especially when learning a language, is taken as something positive that is an inevitable part of the learning process.
Yes.
So I gave the show the name "The Typical Mistake," as if to signify that you can make mistakes. Some are typical, doesn't matter.
And I think that that's important with languages because I think once you start knowing that it's okay to make mistakes in a language, I know when I got here, some of the things that I would say were, I mean, yeah, the accent, the pronunciation. There was many a mistakes I made when it came to speaking castellano.
Let me tell you, just brief pause. There's a lot of points that you earned for saying castellano because Americans and British people say español.
Yes.
And I hate it. It's castellano. It's not español.
Castellano, boludo.
Very good.
I learned all of that.
Very good. But do you know the political reason why?
No.
Because in the time of Franco, the dictator in Spain, you know that Spain, the country, has a lot of different regions, and most of those regions have a language.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the Basque country, surprisingly, they speak Basque.
Their own, yes.
And in Catalonia, they speak Catalonian, mm-hmm. Catalan, blah, blah, etc. There's many.
Yes.
So Franco wanted to stamp out, to do away, to finish with all the regional languages, and to impose one of the regional languages from Castile, Castilian, Castellano. He wanted that to be the only language of Spain. And he called that one Spanish, Español, to mean that's the language of Spain, all the rest should not matter.
Okay, I like that. So, interesting. There's your history lesson for the day, everybody.
Boo, I'm boring. I know I'm boring.
No, but that is interesting. And I will say I really love the Argentinian accent. I'm glad that the castellano that I've learned is the Argentinian way where it's like everyone's singing. It's like this up and down. And it's a pretty Spanish.
A lot of people have said, and I think they're right, that Argentine Spanish is Spanish with an Italian accent.
Yes. Absolutely.
Well, really you're is. Camozzi, so
yes.
You know, right?
Yes. Well, made in Gomez, which is actually from Spain. So
yeah.
I
know you're second cousins with Selena Gomez, right?
Yes, actually. Who is also from Texas, so yeah, we are.
You see?
Good connection there. So, Guillermo, what are some of the mistakes what's the biggest mistake you've ever made in life, big or small?
Oh, my God. I didn't know we were turning this into an Oprah-style show. I made so many. I couldn't, you know, somebody very special that may or may not be here today, when I told her about the topic, said playfully, whatever are you going to talk about? Because you haven't made any.
He is talking about his lovely wife.
It's my wife.
And a little one who is also here, your gorgeous little baby.
Yeah.
What's it like being a father?
Bah.
That's a whole nother topic
there. If you ask me the biggest mistake I made in my life, having a baby is the opposite.
Okay.
It's the best.
I thought you were about to say that.
Not at all.
I
wanted to be a father for a long time.
And is it really life-changing,
yes,
like what people say? What?
It is life-changing, but I'm going to say something that will sound a little cocky.
Okay.
But a lot of people told me, you know, your social life is going to end. There's no time to eat, no time to have a shower, no time for a move. A lot of people said yeah. that. Forget about meeting your friends. But a lot of people.
I mean,
it's all false.
Really?
You know, it's all false. We watch movies. We went to a record. One of my friends that is a musician, we went to his record presentation. Granted, we had to leave earlier because he was crying. But, you know, we're seeing family. We go take walks in the park. Of course, if you want your life to be the same as it was, don't have a baby.
Right. Right? Okay.
But I feel it's been, like, incredibly enriched.
So it's not what people say where you're not going to sleep, you're not...
You sleep less, but, you know, what do you expect?
But then what they say is that the feeling and the love that you get, it all validates it and makes it...
There's
makes it
yes,
all worth the
yes,
while.
Absolutely. But going back to the topic of mistakes,
mm-hmm.
There's just, you know, there's a wealth. Are we talking professional... Personal.
Yeah, like I would say for me, if I could tell my younger self what mistakes I made, I would probably say that, I don't know, when you're younger, you have an instinct of what you know, what you like, what you don't like. And I think when I was younger, I always loved the creative arts, and I always had the dream of being an actress, and I had that dream of going to Hollywood and doing that. But I think that I didn't pursue that necessarily because, you know, the proper thing to do is to go to university to get your degree.
Yeah. So people, if you find on YouTube or other sites this Vanessa Does Hollywood, this is another Vanessa.
I was Hermia in A Midsummer's Night Dream. I was in a few plays. No, but I loved it and I enjoyed it. But I was too afraid and I made the mistake of maybe not going down that road because I just thought, well, it, you know, I don't want to be this starving artist in Hollywood making no money. And what people tell you, you have to do this. This is the correct way. And I think that I would say that's a mistake to not take risks, especially when you're younger.
Well, this is excellent because I was, you know, this is a good thing about having a smart co-host. Because when you said about mistakes, see how interesting the way the mind works is. I immediately thought of the road taken mistakes.
Okay.
And you went to the road not taken mistakes.
Yes.
So this is very interesting. And I was going to say, because of this mindset, that whatever mistakes I made, and trust me, they are so many, whatever mistakes I made, I wouldn't advise my former self, my younger self, not to make them.
Okay.
Because I learned from each of them. And without making those mistakes, I wouldn't have become, you know, for better or for worse, the fat self that I am now.
You guys, he's not that fat. You over-exaggerate.
So
the outgoing radio host that you are today, / dad, / interpreter and all of that. But yeah, it's true. You do learn from your mistakes.
So if I could tell, you know, my younger or younger people would be what you said, you know, dare, do, travel, take the risk, you know, call her, go out.
Yes.
You know,
Lucas is like, come on, vamos, yes.
I would say, you know, it's much better to be rejected, especially by, I was thinking a woman, but whatever, you know.
Right, no.
A job, much better to be rejected than not to try.
Exactly. I think it was, wasn't it Wayne Gretzky said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And
very good.
So true.
Very good. And he said that when he had teeth. So that is a good quote.
Poor guy. I'm sure he has the falsies in now.
Okay. So Vanessa, I'm not going to dodge the question.
Okay.
I'm going to answer my mistakes, but let's take the commercial break. In the next segment, maybe we'll have Esteban from Moscow.
Ooh,
if the Skype works. And after that, maybe we you can tell me some mistakes and I can tell you some of mine.
All right, let's do that.
Okay, Lucas, how are you today? Great. So let's go to some publicity. And right after this, more The Typical Mistake.
Todas las radios en una.
En una.
Radio Palermo. Hacia todo el mundo.
Desde Buenos Aires.
RPLM.
94.7.
Liceo Cultural Británico. Casa Central. Callao 362. Teléfono 4374-5668. www.liceobritánico.com. Liceo Cultural Británico. No solo vas a hablar inglés, vas a pensar en inglés.
The typical mistake should not be listened to while operating heavy machinery. You can reach us at thetypicalmistake@hotmail.com and on MSN Messenger, same address.
Well, we're back with The Typical Mistake, and we're very happy because we have our roving correspondent, our friend, the defender of the children, the champion of the dispossessed, world traveler, extraordinaire, Esteban Thorsdale. Are you there, Esteban?
Esteban, are you there?
Well, seems that he's not. So much there.
Technical difficulties.
As we thought. This is, you know, Skype seems to work for everybody except for us. So, yes, we need to wait. Maybe we can talk some more about mistakes. Okay, 1 second, which could be more. So
we can talk about mistakes. Esteban's made, you know him since he's your friend, right? But he's this world traveler who travels and goes to, like, some of the craziest countries that most of us only could wonder or dream about.
Yeah, he spent, out of the last 3 years, he spent a month or so in Iran, and now he was in the Baltic state. And right now, when he comes on air, he's going to tell us about the former Yugoslavian countries where he's been. So, Esteban, please be there.
I am here. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Loud and clear.
Great. Anyway, first of all, I have to tell you I'm no longer in the Balkans. As you know, I'm in Russia right now. I'm calling from the capital of the former Soviet Union, the unbelievably changing city of Moscow. Guillermo, you were here a few years ago or 2 years ago, and I'm telling you, I have not been here for 10 years. I do not recognize the place. I'm sure you wouldn't recognize the place either.
Wow, yeah. First question, are people there as rude as everybody says? Is it like a Russian New York?
Well, you know, I mean, there are some nice people. You have to really search them out. Most of the people in the service industry are friendly. But, you know, if you can speak a little bit of Russian, I have to tell you, they're not so bad. I've changed my mentality a little bit about the whole situation.
Okay, great.
But anyway,
I would like you to tell us a little bit about Russia later, but right now, please.
Yes, we'll talk about the Balkans.
Yes, please.
Well, as you know, I came to Moscow actually from Tirana, from Albania. And so I spent the last 3 weeks in the Balkans. The Balkans is a place which is always changing. The Balkans is a place which has always been a very volatile place. The former Yugoslavia, as you know, was kept together by Marshal Tito for many, many years. And as the early 1990s, Europe was separating and everyone wanted to have their own independence, the former Yugoslavia broke into what I used to say was 6 republics, but I've been told it's 7 republics because now they consider the Republic of Kosovo. Mm-hmm. And on my just recent trip, which just ended last week, I was in Albania, I was in Kosovo, and I was in Macedonia.
Excellent.
All three of the places are going under massive changes.
Uh-huh. What about, I'm interested in Albania because you said last time, the sound was bad, now the sound is excellent. But you were saying last time that this is a unique place because it's a Muslim country in Europe, and they are modernized, and this is it could be like an example for a lot of people that they think of Muslims as something like Saudi Arabia only. But how did you see this Muslim Republic of Albania in Europe now in the year 2015?
Well, you know, it is an official Muslim country. However, because of all of the years of communism there, and not just the years of communism, but this extreme isolationism which they had, there are so many people who are, let's say, cultural or ethnic Muslims, if you will, but they really don't attend any type of services whatsoever. So it's quite a mixture, I have to tell you. It's quite a mixture. Unlike Kosovo, which is extremely Muslim, and people do follow Islam very, very much, and I found them to be much more active in this way. But you have to remember that Kosovo was under Serbia, was under Yugoslavia, and the situation was not as isolationist, it was not as harsh and as drastic as it was in Albania.
Okay, compared to European countries, if you go now, is it very backwards? Does it seem that you're going to 1950?
Is it safe?
Safe, I would say it is, yes. I would say it's more or less, if you would put it in a South American terms, it would be like going from Buenos Aires to some small interior area inside of Bolivia.
Okay.
So there is a big difference, obviously. The people are very friendly. The people are, of course, you know, they've been so isolated from the rest of the world. But they're curious about foreigners. There are not that many foreigners who tend to travel there. Travel is very, very difficult. It's much better than it used to be. The first time that I was in Albania was over 20 years ago, and it would take 10 hours, 15 hours to go 100 kilometers, like it does sort of in some places in Bolivia. It's gotten a little bit better. There are some roads. There are some money which is coming in from the European Union, even though it's not part of the European Union, and it's far from becoming a member of the European Union.
Which country have you enjoyed the most, or were you most pleasantly surprised by?
Well, you know, I have to tell you, all three were very interesting. I felt that probably Albania was the one which was the most interesting for me on this trip. Kosovo was a new surprise to me. I've never been there before. The last time I was there, the country did not exist. There's a very, very stark division, I found, between the Muslims and the non-Muslims. And even though people say that they're not really thinking about what happened 20 years ago, I think that deep down that they really do.
It's still there. There's
still there. It's absolutely. And Macedonia, I can tell you that I was in Skopje for 4 days. Skopje is sort of a very surrealistic place these days. They've been going through a large transition period right now. There's been a lot of dissension within the people there. The prime minister has said he will step down because of the demands of the people.
So there's political unrest.
There's a lot of political unrest, yes, there is, yes. And of the former Yugoslav republics, it is by far the poorest.
What's the weather there this time? What's the weather like?
Hotter than hell. Hotter than hell.
That hot? What degrees are we talking here?
I mean, 38, 39 degrees.
Humidity?
The humidity isn't so bad. But, you know, that's what they always say. You know, well, it's not very humid when it's very hot. But, you know, open an oven door and stick your head inside.
Okay,
there's no humidity inside, but you're going to sweat like anything.
Okay, I have a question. That is, I have a friend, maybe you know him, no names, that whenever he's in a Muslim country, he suffers because there is no alcohol to be, you know, purchased.
I know that same friend.
You know him too.
I know him very well.
Okay, so
that's not the case of Kosovo, and that's not the case of Albania.
Oh, okay.
You can buy. In fact, to be honest with you, I happen to have met your friend. He was traveling sort of next side to side with me.
Oh,
and actually, the drinks were cheaper there than they were in other parts of Europe.
Okay, well, good. Good for him.
There was no problem. The food is heavily influenced by Italy, especially in Albania.
Uh-huh.
So lots of pastas and pizzas?
Yes, but also, if you're not a vegetarian, sometimes I'm traveling with my friend Catherine, and she's a vegetarian, so sometimes it's a little bit difficult because everything is sort of grilled meats. And if you love cevapcici and leskovice and all of those types of things, you'll have a great time. But you can also find some grilled vegetables and other types of things.
Okay, well, although great. What's in the cards now? You're in Moscow for a few days, and after?
Well, I've been here already since last week, so I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm flying back to Prague. I'll be there for a few days, and then I'm off to Berlin.
Ooh, Berlin. Well, we'll have to definitely connect with you when you're in Berlin. I've heard such amazing things about that city.
Berlin is, as they say, an eyes of that. It's worth the trip, so it's a wonderful city. But I have to go back to something horrible, which is called work.
Oh, boo. Nobody likes that. Okay, well, Esteban, it's been fantastic to have you, and it's fantastic to hear you with such good sound connection quality.
Yes.
Yes, I know, because the last time from Tirana was not very good. This time it's very good. Yeah. And I have to tell you, DJ, Moscow is unbelievable. It's changed so much. Like I say, since the last 2 years that you were here, I'm sure you wouldn't recognize the place.
The city was
so expensive.
I was there a year and a half ago, but it was the first time I was there, so I had nothing to compare it with.
Yeah, I loved Moscow, but I also loved St. Petersburg. To me, that was gorgeous.
Better. Exactly beautiful. I liked it more.
They're two different things, but I think that Moscow really is the pulse of the country.
Excellent. Well, let's talk some more next time about that, but... just amazing to have you here, and you know, you give the show another dimension.
Well, I love living in the third dimension.
Well, good luck on all of your adventures and travel. We'll try and live vicariously through you, Esteban.
Shall do. Thanks so much, anyway. Take care of everyone, and
thank you.
All my love to all of our urgentes from Buenos Aires.
Absolutely. We love you.
Ciao.
Bye. Okay, well.
So jealous to hear of how all these countries that he's going.
Yeah, very intense.
You learn so much more. That's what I love about travel, because you can read from a book, but until you're there and you are experiencing it, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, it's like they say about swimming, right? You can read like 100 books about swimming, but...
You better just jump in the pool.
Exactly.
I don't know if I could go to Kosovo, though, and all of... it might be for women a little bit extreme in some of those countries, though.
Yeah, depending on the situation. I would say Iran is more difficult.
I would say so, too.
Okay, well, so next segment, what we promise, more mistakes?
Yeah, well, right? We can talk about mistakes. We've got social media and some strange news.
Oh, yes, strange news. I like that. Okay, let's go to publicity news. And we'll be back.
Sentile el pulso a la ciudad. Radio Palermo, 94.7. 94.7. Producciones independientes.
La actualidad, comentada por periodistas. Desarrollada por sus protagonistas. Analizada por expertos. Cuatro Patas, el magazine de la tarde. Los lunes, de 18 a 19. Hora Buenos Aires.
Tenemos más información, mejor análisis y mucho debate.
Diálogo Franco.
Muy buenos días a todos.
Infórmate a la mañana, quédate con nosotros.
¿Cómo te va?
Diálogo Franco.
Bien, mira, yo creo que todos los argentinos...
De lunes a viernes a partir de las 8:30.
Como sociedad, eternamente vamos a pensar que es normal que a los policías se le tire piedras y que se lo tengan que aguantar.
Expreso Singer.
Fue un accidente lo que pasó, pero este club lo voy a defender hasta las últimas consecuencias.
Expreso Singer.
Sigamos creando situaciones de gol, tratemos de jugar bien como lo hemos hecho hoy y terminaremos dando vuelta a la situación actual.
Jueves.
El técnico no tiene nada que ver.
12 horas.
Acá la gente es muy exitista lo que está sucediendo acá.
Expreso Singer. La jugada diferente, la que te hace ganar partido. Jueves a partir de las 12 horas.
Hora Cero. La información periodística desde una mirada joven. Hora Cero. Noticias, opinión y entrevistas puestas al servicio del oyente para comprender mejor la información. Hora Cero. Con Pablo Fernández Blanco y su equipo. Lo mejor de la gráfica en formato radial. Todos los jueves de 13 a 14.
Qué bueno es vivir un sábado diferente, contemplando la Argentina y el mundo con ojos radiofónicos.
Mundo Magazine.
Mundo Magazine. Entrevistas a los personajes más notorios del ámbito cultural. Espectáculos y la mejor música. Mundo Magazine.
Mundo Magazine.
Con la conducción de Claudio Mirelas.
Todos los sábados.
Desde las 14.
Espacio cedido por la Dirección Nacional Electoral. Leyes número 26.215 y 26.571.
La victoria es la victoria de la Argentina. Somos el último país del mapa, pero estamos dando vuelta a todo. Y si cada vez en más productos dice Industria Argentina, más rápido daremos la vuelta. Victoria es que cuando el mundo salga a dar una vuelta por el mundo, venga acá, donde el esfuerzo de la gente hace que cada año le gane al año anterior. Victoria es construir a partir de lo construido, como la ciencia, que avanza desde donde dejó el otro. Y si entendemos las cosas de esta manera, nadie detendrá el desarrollo. Y esa será tu victoria.
Scioli para la victoria. Lista 131A, Frente para la Victoria. Presidente de la Nación, Daniel Scioli. Vicepresidente de la Nación, Carlos Zanini.
Espacio cedido por la Dirección Nacional Electoral. Leyes números 26.215 y 26.571.
El 3 de junio hicimos historia. 1 millón nos movilizamos para decir ni una menos. Pusimos los problemas de las mujeres en la agenda nacional. Ahora hay que seguir la pelea por el derecho al aborto. Acompáñame con tu voto para decirle nunca más a la violencia hacia las mujeres. Vamos con las rojas.
En la provincia, vota Javelin Gobernador, Cisneros Vice. Movimiento Socialismo, lista 13A, SOB.
Espacio cedido por Dirección Nacional Electoral. Leyes 26215, 26571. Nicolás del Caño, presidente. Cristian Castillo, gobernador de Buenos Aires. Lista 1A, Frente de Izquierda.
Espacio cedido por la Dirección Nacional Electoral. Leyes número 26215 y 26571.
La victoria es la victoria de tu trabajo. Por eso, vayamos por un trabajo aún mejor. Vayamos porque ganen tus sueños. Y esa será la victoria.
Lista 502A, Frente para la Victoria. Diputados Nacionales por la Ciudad Autónoma de Buenos Aires. Axel Kicillof, Nilda Garré.
Espacio cedido por la Dirección Nacional Electoral. Leyes 26.215 y 26.571.
Hola, les habla De La Sota, candidato a presidente. Voy a implementar el boleto educativo. 12 millones de estudiantes y maestros de todo el país van a tener transporte gratis para ir a estudiar y enseñar.
Para poner al mejor en la final, votá De La Sota en las PASO.
Lista 138D, Unidos por una Nueva Alternativa. Presidente de la Nación, José Manuel de la Sota. Vicepresidente, Claudia Rucci.
Espacio cedido por la Dirección Nacional Electoral. Leyes números 26.215 y 26.571.
Scioli y Macri son los candidatos del ajuste que viene. Necesitamos un plan económico de los trabajadores. Aumento de salarios, prohibición de despidos, eliminación del impuesto al trabajo.
Vota Manuela Castañeira, presidente. Jorge Ayala, vice. Movimiento al Socialismo, lista 13A.
Radio Palermo
94.7.
94.7. Producciones independientes.
Liceo Cultural Británico. En Martínez, Arenales 1928. Teléfono 4793-8808. www.liceobritánico.com. Liceo Cultural Británico. No solo vas a hablar inglés, vas a pensar en inglés.
Neither the show, its hosts, producers, nor anyone affiliated with the radio station is to be held accountable should you assume we have a sense of humor. You can reach us at thetypicalmistake@hotmail.com and on MSN Messenger, same address.
Typical mistake. We've been talking about mistakes. We got to speak with Esteban as well and all his travels to all these crazy, amazing countries. And now we have some strange news to talk about. And we're going to get to talk to Blake, right?
Yeah. Blake is on next segment, live from... Well, you don't know. You're the only one who doesn't know this, but you know where he is now.
Where's Waldo?
Yeah.
Where is Blake?
He's in his hometown. Whose name, I'm going to spell it out, I'm not going to say it, is V-E-R-G-A-S.
Vergas. That's really a true...
That's where he is.
He's in Vergas. I did not know that.
Vergas, Minnesota. And whenever he comes back, he brings, a lot of shirts that go, I love Vergas.
Oh my God, I need a t-shirt that's... That's hilarious.
I don't know what your husband would think.
I don't really think I would wear it.
Please.
But I think that's an interesting name. I did not know that he was from
That's where his, yeah. So, what are we, news,
well,
right?
Well, yeah, so some strange news. I'm one of those people that I love reading, the headlines every day and get your dose of news. But I'm also one of those people that's going to click on that kind of strange news and that weird article. And apparently, an article in New York Times was talking about women who are dyeing their armpit hair. And they're dyeing their armpit hair pink and neon and fuchsia and all these...
Neon is a color?
Well, it's this hot green. If you look, go to the website and you can
see
the photos.
Will I be grossed out?
Well, I mean... I think in general, armpit hair is kind of gross. I mean, I'm all for people being artistic and creative. I think they're doing this as sort of a feminist type thing. I didn't really understand. I know Miley Cyrus has done it as well, so I think it's also that classic domino effect. When a celebrity does it, it becomes kind of cool. But yeah, I kind of think it's gross, and I don't know, maybe some of our French women listeners out there can...
I don't know. You know, when I was much, much, much younger, and of course this is before I had the incredible fortune of meeting my wife,
yeah,
I once hooked up with a very artsy girl, and she had...
armpit hair.
Yeah.
It wasn't hot pink, though, was it?
No, this is in the 90s.
Okay, and what was your, like, initial...
I did, you know, of course, this is a feminist show,
yes,
right?
So we'll keep it PC, but...
Let's say this euphemistically.
Yeah.
My impulses of my youth prevented me before...
Uh-huh.
Prevented of noticing such a thing. But after, right?
Yeah.
I did notice, it's pretty shocking.
It just shouldn't be there.
It shouldn't be there. I mean, the girl was nice, and to my, you know, she was pretty feminine.
Yeah.
We're not talking about a truck driver here.
Right.
We're not talking about, you know, some girls, like, get off on being masculine.
Yeah.
And that's that part of the allure. This was not it. Very soft-spoken, very, you know, shy, coy type of, you know, girl, but...
What does Lucas say?
Lucas, please. A tranny. No tranny. No. This was a girl. And I can tell you this for a fact. And I didn't like it at all.
I just don't think it should be there. I think it was, remember when Julia Roberts at the Oscars, she had on a beautiful gown and a dress and she went to wave to the crowd and she raised her arm and poof, there it was in all its glory, was all of her armpit hair. And it shocked, I know it shocked America because it was in all the outlets and it was like, couldn't believe, you know, Julia Roberts had this armpit hair. It wasn't colored hot pink or anything, but
The question for me is that, and I think I know the answer, did I hate it because it is inherently horrible or because we've been culturally conditioned?
Right.
Like, in a guy, you know, we are, you know, like gorillas, we're hot, and in girls...
It's not, yeah. I don't think it's about cultural conditioning because I just think it's a personal... I just think that it shouldn't be there.
Okay.
I don't really, I mean, maybe if I grew up in a culture where it was accepted, yeah, it's more acceptable, but I think I would personally take the decision to not have it.
Okay, and why is it like vivid pink or green or yellow? What's the point?
They're just kind of sending a message, you know? It's just one of those things where it's sort of trending and becoming popular.
The message being, we are gross.
To me, that's the message I take from it, and probably a lot of people in the
majority. In the next segment, I want to ask Blake, because if there's somebody who knows about women...
All right, we'll definitely ask.
It's Blake.
We'll definitely
now,
ask Blake.
Now, a transition or a segue to with that is that I was reading the headlines too, and this is... oddly enough, unrelated because we didn't plan it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know who is getting their stuff dyed pink also?
Who?
The elephants.
What elephants?
The elephants in Africa especially know that, let's have some Spanish words, there are some bad guys that in English are called poachers.
Yes.
Illegal hunters. Cazador furtivo in Spanish.
Terrible son.
And they are pretty horrible because they, of course... hunt without a license, without a permit. And why is that bad? Because one thing is to hunt, let's say, a rabbit in Australia, where they are a plague.
Mm-hmm.
But elephants are an endangered species.
They are, and it's...
And they hunt them, of course, for their ivory, you know, to make pianos and statues and whatever. So environmental organizations are dyeing the tusks, los colmillos, the tusks pink. So this is completely harmless for the animal. It doesn't bring them anything bad. But then if the hunters kill the elephant and they cut they cannot sell the tusks because they are pink.
I love it. That is so genius. I mean, I don't know which NGO it was that came up with this, but I think...
GayElephants.com.
That's so dumb. No, I wonder, is it that's other colors? I'm looking on the website, on the images, and there's one here, and it is pink. I wonder if they choose other colors. I think it's amazing. I think this is great. This is what exactly, there needs to be a change. And this is what has to happen. So
yeah, absolutely. Yes. What? Any other? Yes, I know. We were talking about something with feminism before.
Well, yeah, we were talking about. You were telling me, and this is really interesting. You were telling me about the Minions, the guy who got. Basically,
yes.
Questioned, and I never thought about this. And I mean, you can't escape now. Everywhere in Argentina, it's always I've seen every posters of all the Minions, the movie. I have not personally gone out and seen it, and I don't really know much about Minions, the movie. But you've seen it, right?
Yes. Well, not the movie. I am a fan of the Minions from, well, in Spanish I forgot the name. In English, it's Despicable Me.
Yeah.
And it's this lovely movie with the sequel. Have you seen them?
No, I haven't.
Not even one?
No, I've never
Vanessa.
Seen it. I mean, they're cute, but...
Yes, it's mi villano favorito, like my favorite villain.
Okay.
Thank you, Lucas. You rock.
Well, okay, so the guy is under a lot of... there it is. They are so cute. I love looking.
Yeah, and...
But the guy's in hot water because why? Because there are no female minions. Which I never, not when you, I mean, I didn't even think about it, but you're right.
But take a look. I mean, do they look male or female?
They look male to me, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they don't. That doesn't look like a female. They look, they definitely look like male, so.
Well, it's interesting that here too, same?
Yeah.
It's always good to have another voice because to me, you know, in my mind, that is very primitive. They were minions, and minions do not need to have a gender or a sex or any of the bad stuff that humans have.
Yeah, but their names aren't. They all have names like
yes.
Stuart and Kevin and
now,
whatever.
Yes.
So they clearly are male minions.
Now
and
yes.
And the
yes.
voice. I mean, yes. I haven't watched the movie, but I imagine. The way they talk, I'm
yes.
sure it's very male oriented. So, but what did the guy when he was questioned and asked? Why there wasn't any female minions? What did he say?
Well, it's funny because he was accused of sexism. Somebody like
Jessica Lange. Okay.
Yes. You see, I knew it because I was going to say Lange, but I knew it was wrong.
Okay.
Jessica Lange said that Hollywood is the industry is run with male point of view, and that the minions are just another brick in the wall for that. And then the creator, that is French, you know...
Pierre Coffin.
Pierre Coffin.
Oh, you said that much better.
I have no idea.
Uh-huh.
But Coffin just sounds dreadful, right?
Yeah, it does.
Bleak. Well, I'm sure he had a very good public relations advisor
mm-hmm.
because he said...
He says, seeing how dumb and stupid they often are, I just couldn't imagine minions being girls.
Which is a great, it's a great out.
I mean, what
this
a response.
This guy wants to sell a lot of marketing, you know, minion dolls and minion, he wants the girls to,
yes.
he's great.
Well, but I mean, I think that was kind of quick thinking on his part, trying to get out of hot water and maybe not trying to make it at all about, you know, sexism and all of that. But yeah, it had 100 million in its opening weekend. So... yeah, he doesn't, I'm sure, want to lose one penny of that.
But,
and...
you know, let's do, like, okay, 2 minutes of debate.
Okay.
Short. From my point of view, I know it's unpopular.
I know where you're going to go with
this. Okay. But if a guy wants to make a movie and they're all whatever, you know, I always give the example with the albinos, you know. Bear with me
with
a little.
The albinos.
Yes,
okay.
Bear
Where
me
are you going
little,
with this?
Bit. Have you seen this blockbuster called The Da Vinci Code?
Yes.
Have you read it?
Yes.
Well, you read
Dan
it and saw
Brown,
it.
Yes.
Okay, do you remember the bad guy was a huge albino?
Yes.
Okay, believe it or not, they are something called the, you know, the albino lobby or whatever, Association for the Advancement of Albinos or
okay.
to prevent discrimination of albinos. And they said that Dan Brown was incredibly... aggressive, offensive, how dare you, you know, because this, the bad guy being albino in the movie just plays into the negative stereotypes that people have about albinos.
Okay, so I see where you're going, where if we try to cut off everybody's creativity and expression...
But can't a bad guy, you know, I'm Jewish and fat... So if there's a movie with a bad guy who is Jewish and fat, this is him.
Right. There's been several movies with fat Jewish men. Okay?
You see, and I don't take offense.
Right, right.
And
the Godfather
If you want to take to make a movie with the albino as a bad guy, or a movie where the little delicious, adorable things are all male, then what's wrong?
I don't. Okay, I don't. I understand.
Please disagree.
No, I understand where you're going with that, but I think that, you know, you have to admit that I think this is being used as maybe like sort of the scapegoat for a general bigger picture in Hollywood, which clearly there is so much sexism, ageism that's going on, and that's why somebody like Jessica Lange is, you know, this is just an example of one thing that is a multitude of many others that's happening. So would I not watch the movie because there's no female minions? No. I mean, I would watch it. I'm not going to go that far.
I'm going to ask you a question and then the break. Okay. Do you really want to grow up in a world where if you have a daughter, she cannot dream of growing up and becoming a cartoon that cannot be in a movie because she's female?
Maybe I just won't have a daughter.
Right, this is the argument. They're cartoons.
I know. Don't take it so... Okay.
But I don't know. I think I'm on the minority here.
Yeah, I think you are. I think we can agree to disagree. I think there's more tragic things happening in the world. So I'm okay with letting this one slide. But, you know, I mean, it wouldn't have hurt to have a few cute little girl minions.
Yeah, and some black minions. And
some Asian and some Hispanic.
Don't forget the albino minion. That's the important one. Okay, break. Albino. Blake is after this.
Liceo Cultural Británico, en Villa Crespo, Corrientes 5305. Teléfono 4793-8808. www.liceobritanico.com. Liceo Cultural Británico. No solo vas a hablar inglés, vas a pensar en inglés.
I regret to inform you that this is the typical mistake. You can reach us at thetypicalmistake@hotmail.com and on MSN Messenger, same address.
Back here at The Typical Mistake, talking about minions. We were actually, I'm going to petition to have a female lesbian albino minion.
Yes.
Okay, that's what we really wanted.
And she needs to be a BBW because of sizeism. She has to be, you know, BBW, big, beautiful.
Yes, okay, size, that's, you're right. We're going to talk about ageism. We got to talk about everything.
Yes.
If we're going to be PC, it has to be everything accepted. Yes. So... I love it. All right, so we have Blake here, right, with us on Skype. So we've got Blake that we're going to talk about. Apparently, he's drinking mate in Montana.
No,
in
Minnesota.
In Minnesota.
Please.
Which I like that. He's still keeping up with the Argentinian
tradition. He became such an Argentine, but yes. So he's there. He's changing the water in the kettle.
Yeah.
In the baba.
You know, speaking of mate, maybe it's the American in me, but I'm not a big sharing with mate. I don't, here in Argentina, it doesn't, you know, it's like it's just part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
I was having a discussion with this. I don't like the whole sharing out of the same straw and drink. Is that super American?
I don't drink mate.
Okay.
Or coffee or beer or anything.
You're so not the typical Argentinian, right?
I like water. That's what I like is water. And if you give me water, I'm happy.
All right.
But everybody drinks the same bombilla or straw.
Yeah.
And nobody thinks that you will catch cooties or virus or bacteria.
Mononucleosis, which... By the way, is very, I had mono, believe it or not, because I was on the tennis team and we'd share water bottles and, you know, you get off the court. And my freshman year in college, I got mono because of that very same reason. So why, does mono not happen here in Argentina? Because I don't.
We could ask the doctor. I mean, is there a lot of mononucleosis?
Ooh. Yeah, we need to get a doctor here in Argentina so that we can find out. If mono, you know, happens from drinking mate, because I personally, I think it's great with the traditions and sharing, and I love how it's such a social thing, and drinking mate is great. However, I just get a little bit kind of uncomfortable myself when it kind of gets passed to me and I sort of have to sort of pretend like I'm drinking the mate.
Amazing.
In awkward social situations. It's a very social thing.
But because you remember, because as I'm Argentine, I can say I don't like mate and people don't bat their eyes.
Yeah.
But as you're American, she thinks she's better than us.
No, but I like mate. I really enjoy it, but I drink mate by myself.
Really?
Yeah, like I like mate. I mean,
I just got a flash of you on a rainy day with your mate, and the soundtrack is all by myself.
Drinking mate.
Yes.
No, yeah, I do like it. I like the I guess it's from Paraguay, and I'm gonna butcher.
Tereré.
Yes, tereré. I actually prefer to drink. I like it that way, and maybe that's the sweeter, better way. But yeah. So we won't be sharing mate then anytime soon, which is a good thing. So, all right. So do we have Mr. Blake on Skype with us? Blake, are you there?
I believe so.
Oh, there he is. Oh, I see a tear coming out of Guillermo's eye. Yeah, we can hear you great. How's it going?
Happy Friends Day.
That's right. Día de Amigo. What have you been celebrating and doing for Friends Day?
Well, just drinking mate and receiving messages from all my friends. And now I have the opportunity to say Happy Friends Day to Guillermo and Jackie and Federico and everybody else in Buenos Aires.
Happy Friends Day, Blake. We love you. We miss you. And, you know, you sound as if you were next door, whereas Esteban in Moscow sounded like he was in another planet.
Yeah, this is a great connection. It's the minute.
Well, I am next door. The two land masses do touch, you know, North America and South America.
This is true.
There's no ocean between us.
This is true. Well, tell us what you got for Friends Day as a gift.
Well, it was actually for my birthday. I got some framed pictures from my friends who traveled with me to, I don't know if you knew this, they came with me to the U.S. and we had a 3-week road trip around different parts of the Midwest. And we spent some time here in Vergas. And I got 3 pictures here. One is from the whole guys that we play soccer with on Saturdays. Another is a framed picture of our bowling night. And the other is a framed picture of my going away party.
And
I had the opportunity to spend my birthday with 2 friends from Argentina and 2 friends from the United States, along with my sister. So it was like an articulation of friendship groups.
And, you know,
I know you love that word, articulate.
Yeah, thank you, Blake.
I love here. I feel a little bit gypped being in the States. We've never celebrated any Friends Day. It doesn't exist. The closest, I guess, we have, you know, is Valentine's Day, but that's with your significant other.
Because Americans have no friends.
But I am feeling a little bit gypped because it's a really cool thing. I want to know more about what people do here on Friends Day. Like, what do you do? What's the big, you know, do you all go out to dinner or what is
Blake,
it?
Blake will tell you.
Well, I know it's an excuse to take a really long lunch break at work.
Okay, I like that. Any excuse
for sure.
Is good.
And usually there's lots of messages and usually there's a going out. But it's a Monday, so I guess I'm not really sure how it's celebrated today. But likely there'll be dinners and get-togethers. It's an excuse to get together and an excuse to maybe buy some gifts.
I like that.
Absolutely. Well,
so I have to say, hey, guys, I never realized this, but the YouTube channel is up and running, and it looks great. I got to see Jackie and Federico live. Guillermo, you should be maybe concentrating on the program instead of taking pictures during the breaks.
Oh, no.
As always, you're right, Blake.
What are you on, Blake, so other people to stream on
all
YouTube?
All you do is you type in Radio Palermo into YouTube, and there are different I guess, radio channels, but you just click on the 94.7, and there's 3 views. You can see the whole view and then 2 smaller views. And you can also listen to the program on YouTube.
Well, great.
So I think it's better to go through the website so then we get to see what country you access the program from.
Oh, exactly.
But after that, by watching on YouTube, you can see everything.
Because
of no more naked programs.
Yeah, that's because of the Google Analytics. We get to see where you're coming from if you click on the typicalmistake.com.
Yes, and we also have a Twitter now, so the handle is at Radio Mistake. So if you're listening, get on to Twitter and start tweeting us. And also, we'll be posting lots on the Facebook page. So, but no nude pics.
yet.
Okay, well, Sharmo and Blake.
Blake, before you go, tell us a little bit about Mount Rushmore and the other cool places you went to.
Well, with my friends, we had a couple of road trips. The first one was with my sister and brother-in-law, who are die-hard, hardcore Grateful Dead fans.
I love Grateful Dead.
Grateful Dead, their last show with Jerry Garcia.
Wow.
Was in Chicago at Soldier Field.
Wow.
I don't know, it must have been in the late 60s. Was his last show at Soldier Field. So they came together and they did a final like tour, a Grateful Dead tour. And they had their last show at Soldier Field in Chicago. And that was the show that my sister and brother-in-law went to. So we went with Santiago and Nico. We went to Chicago with them. And we were in the aura of the Grateful Dead and basically the biggest hippie conglomeration that you'll ever see. And surprisingly, the Chicago police looked the other way on marijuana. There were zero marijuana arrests the whole weekend with all these hippies everywhere. There's people smoking joints all over the city.
Lucas is very happy listening to this.
Yes. The Chicago police were more concerned with the illegal guns trading in Chicago that was also going on and all the murders.
Of course.
I think they've decided, well, maybe we have more important things to focus on.
Very good. Very good. And tell the audience what Mount Rushmore is that they don't know.
Mount Rushmore, it's this, patriotic landmark in the middle of the Black Hills. You drive across North Dakota and South Dakota, and there's nothing. You drive for 8 hours, and there's absolutely nothing until all of a sudden you enter the Black Hills, which are a beautiful, natural place with mountains and hills, and they're actually, some of them are quite black. And that's where they built these four heads into the mountains of four different presidents. You have George Washington is the first, and then you have Thomas Jefferson, you have Roosevelt, and Abraham Lincoln.
All right.
And this is a place that people go to, and there's like a history of, I guess, those four presidents. There's a history of the building of the nation and the territorial expansion of the United States. And right next to Mount Rushmore, there's a new monument being built. And this is something that my friends are a little bit, I guess, they feel gypped about because it's incomplete. It's been in process for the last 20 or 30 years. It's called Crazy Horse. And this is a monument that's built completely by private contributions of Crazy Horse, who was a native leader, a chief, who was, not surprisingly, how do you think he died, Guillermo? What would you guess?
Killed by the whites.
He was killed by the whites, but in what
by a
form?
Horse.
Like in battle, or how would you imagine the man being killed?
Dismembered.
Dismembered, no. They were negotiating a peace treaty, and he was stabbed in the back under a white flag.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well,
so this is a juxtaposition when you go to the Black Hills and you see Mount Rushmore. You see a history of the U.S. territorial expansion. You see a little bit what it was like in the Wild West because there are, like, casinos, there's old Western towns, and they have old Western shows. So that you have an idea of this territorial expansion juxtaposed by U.S., I guess, destruction and, I guess, dishonesty
oh my
in terms
God.
Of the relationship with the natives.
Unbelievable. So, well, we have
going
to go
back to one
yes.
of our programs.
You have,
had a little bit of
you have 20 seconds, Blake.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. Come on. Let's wrap it up.
Well,
30 seconds.
Man's guilt, that's all.
Huh?
Definitely had white man's guilt traveling through Mount Rushmore.
Okay, but well, you had a good time.
We had a good time.
Well, we miss you here in Buenos Aires.
I miss you too. I wish I could be back. Well, hopefully I can contribute as much as possible. Today we have softball, so it's a different sport, not soccer.
Okay. Well, thank you, Blake. We'll talk to you soon.
Goodbye.
Bye, Blake. Bye, guys.
Take care. Okay, well, this is pretty much it, the show. Excellent.
Dubai, my gosh.
We've been to Moscow, we've been to Vegas, We've been to Montenegro and Kosovo and other places.
We've been all over the world today.
Yeah.
In an hour.
Yeah.
Just flew by.
Okay. Well, Vanessa, I'm excited about next show too.
Yes.
People keep checking us on the Facebook and the Twitter.
Yes. Remember,
sorry,
at Radio
Twitter.
Mistake on Twitter. Yes.
There. The tweets are the, you know.
I know. Tweets. Yes, we got it. So
okay. Thank you,
us.
Lucas. Stay here for Cuatro Patas. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Radio Palermo 94.7.
La responsabilidad social es un plus para todos. Es nuestro deber cambiar las formas de producción para relacionarnos como sociedad. Escucha Ambiente Sustentable por Radio Palermo todos los sábados de 17 a 18.
La ventaja de conocer la tapa de los diarios de los próximos días. La posibilidad de estar informado con sentido crítico y sin manipulaciones. Todo lo encontrará en Copyright, un programa para reflexionar sobre nuestro